Father, I thank you for your merciful word. I thank you for your judgmental word. I thank you for your powerful word. I thank you that you have revealed your word through the scriptures that teach us how to live, what it takes to convert the soul, what it takes to make us wise, what it takes to make us pure, what it takes to make us clean, what it takes for us as individuals to understand how it is we are to please you and to execute righteous judgment in the land, your word. Father, we need accurate knowledge of you. We need to know the truth about your word that's revealed so that we don't become discouraged, so that we don't turn our back on you when troubles come, that we don't feel that you're not there, so that we don't feel that you're not going to defend and uphold your cause, so that when we do experience loss, whether it's money or health or loved ones, we need to know the truth about you and your word so that we can hold on, trust you, receive the benefit that you have so richly and abundantly promised, so that we can have the proper success that you want us to have as your children. We are dependent people. We have enemies in this world. We have enemies on the local level, state level, federal level, global level that hate you and will do whatever it takes to destroy us. Lord, for those that will not repent and change, we ask you to break their teeth, break their noses, destroy their fruitfulness, take their money, cause them to be ground down to powder. Because it's your kingdom that must come. It's your will that must be done. The whole earth must be filled with the knowledge of the glory of who your son is. And we look forward to the day when you execute your righteous judgment. We ask you by your might and your power that you cause us to be those that when your judgment has come, we are vindicated because we have used righteous discernment and we have been vindicated because we held on to your word. So when you destroy the wicked, that you bring the complete, the total salvation for all of us who trust in you. I ask you to look upon our sicknesses, our trials, the things that we're going through and the things that we will go through that we don't know about, but to remember that you sent your son and he's been there. He understands. Fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we will not faint in the day of adversity. Amen. Amen, and even so, amen. Today is 11/11/2017. We're still in Psalm 22. And it's very important for us to remember that Jesus told the woman in the well, at the well, that God is spirit. Yes, I left the A out. It's not in the Greek. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. He didn't say could. He could have said should. But he said must worship him in spirit and truth. Now, if you want to understand spirit, when Jesus talks in John 6:63, he said, it's the spirit that quickens or gives life. The flesh profits. The words that I speak are spirit, and they are life. And the words that he speaks are truth. You don't serve God in spirit and be outside of the truth. If you're serving God in spirit, I'm talking about in the spirit that is the revealed word of God, because it's God breathed. All scripture are given by the Spirit of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, that the man of God, we know my mankind, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So then in taking All of those things that I just compiled together, which are in context, then you would know that proper worship must be done in truth. You must have the truth of God to worship Him properly. It cannot be just by feelings. We use it as a text, I guess as a text, to validate the message. Or should I say that the message is already validated and I'm just tagging along like a flea on a dog? You see, if the dog go across the street, it's not that the flea drug the dog across the street. So I'm just like the flea on the dog. Yeah, the message is already here. I'm just tagging along with the message. That no preacher should be the one that's making the message. The message should already be there, and he should just go along with the message. You like that illustration? Thank you, Jesus. So the thing that I'm looking at here is we started in verse 1 and we stopped at about 22. I want to give us a review of what we covered without reading it all. So let me just go from memory because it's fresh in my mind. It starts out saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? You promised in your word you would never leave. You had promised you would never forsake. You promised Joshua you wouldn't leave him. You promised the children of Israel that you would not forsake. But they had to stay in your word. But in this one, I'm crying because I'm with you. And it doesn't seem like you hear. I'm crying. I'm groaning. I'm roaring in my spirit. And what we look at is that passage shows that the evil and the ungodly men, the enemies of David, and I'm going to bring it to the enemies of God, they are typified. Sometimes we say typified. They are typed as three kind of animals. Those that were with me on Thursday, can you remember one of the animals? Bull. What kind of bull? Yes, and another kind, wild. Not just domesticated. It's even worse. What other animal? Dogs. What kind of dog? Wild dogs. What's the other one? Lions. And I drew the picture. Can you imagine being out there right now? We're not even talking about all three, but just say maybe 8 to 12 wild dogs out there. Because I got off class on Thursday, and I went to YouTube, and I started watching wild dogs attacking. I wanted to see the picture. Then I watched wild bulls. I watched a bull try to knock a car over, and the car was coming up off the ground. I watched wild dogs tear the bumper off of a car. I saw that. And I watched lions. Picture that is given here is God. Look at these. All of these are at once at me. And guess what? Most of these are the assembly of people that are supposed to love you. These are people that are supposed to know you. These are the people that are supposed to be walking with you. Yes, there are some that I had to deal with when I fought the enemies of the battles of the Lord, but I'm having problems from day one when I came to you, when you anointed me, started out with my own brothers. Then the king and the civil government came against me. Then a fool named Nabal, and I protected him, and he turned on me. He was just like I gave that which is holy as a dog, and he turned against me. They're my enemies. What you gonna do? I cry in the night, I cry in the day, and I don't hear from you, but you delivered our people before. Our ancestors, the fathers, cried and you delivered them. Understand something, as I said on Thursday, if God delivered the ancestors, we're not talking by Egypt in particular. I'm talking about the book of Judges, and I'm being very specific in the book of Judges. The only reason they had to be delivered is because they had become wicked and ungodly, and they were being chastened, and God was sending other nations to be his sword on them. But yet, they heard, they cried, and you delivered them. What about me? You ever felt, what about me? You ever felt like people that's in the position of authority that can control your paycheck, that can control whether you stay on your job, whether you keep your insurance, whether you lose your insurance or not, whether you're able to keep the car that you have or the roof over your house? They are doing things that ought not to be done in the position of authority. My God, come and fight with me. If I did like they wanted me to do and be a fool, be wicked and ungodly, they would love me. But because I'm standing for you and I'm standing for right, they don't like me. And he said, don't be far from me. Has it ever felt like God was far from you? It's like, God, do I need some kind of special remedy? Do I need a special magic potion? Maybe I need to take a paper Bible and rub my thumbs back and forth and just let it open to the magic scripture and touch it and read, and I get what I need then? Yeah, people used to do that, and they still do. Maybe I need to go to a seminar somebody's giving and pray off what they call generational curses. The Lord, it don't seem like you're anywhere there. Maybe I need to fast till the teeth come out of my mouth, and maybe then I can make you jump when I want you to. Have you ever heard what people will go to a seminar and they give you 5 steps of this or 8 steps to prosperity of this? Or we're going to teach you how to do spiritual warfare and that you can stop the demons and you can stop the celestial beings that are coming at you. But in essence, those things are set out for people that feel that God is not coming to their aid. I'm going to just tell you, when you're walking with God and God has not determined yet to deliver you from your enemy, and that he is using this to try you and build you up, no seminar, no doubling, tripling, quadrupling your tithe, nor doing all of these things that they have you to do, is going to bring you out. At this particular time, we must look at what the psalmist did in this time. He knew the truth of God. What's the truth of God? He's my God. What's the truth of God? He's delivered others before when they did wrong. When they repented, he treated them as if they hadn't ever sinned against him. Didn't he do it? He treated them as if they hadn't sinned, Rich. He delivered the children of Israel from the Midianites. He delivered the children of Israel from the Canaanites. He delivered the children of Israel from Eglon. Read the book of Judges. He delivered them from the Philistines. And the reason that they were under these people captivity is their sin. He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you done this to me? Lord, everybody is trying to destroy me. So as we move to where we were, we're at the 22nd verse. And we're dealing with it from the greatest perspective of David. But then I want to show us today an illustration of what Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:12. Paul says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, what you all?
Shall.
And then he says something else. I would tell you that he talks about the dogs, the lions, and the bulls of Bashan. He said, but evil men and seducers shall do what? Let's have truth when it comes to serve God. Let's not just have feelings. The truth of what God is saying is, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, they got to suffer. Why is that? Because you represent him. So we're going to move back to where we were. And at the 20th verse, he says, deliver my soul from the sword. I got Dre over there. She can read. See, on Thursday, I don't have Dre. Read that 20th verse for me, please, Dre.
Deliver my soul from the sword. My darling, from the power of the dog.
If he's having to ask to be delivered from the sword, you don't need to be delivered from anything that you're not already in danger of. You don't deliver me, save me from it. There are some things that are going on that I need to be saved from. He said, deliver me from the sword. Deliver me from the sword. Deliver me from violence. Deliver me from that which will kill me. Deliver me even in the case when an individual is walked with God and is wrong, like the ones I talked about in Judges, when they would have asked God to deliver them from the sword, it's because of their wickedness, it's because of their ungodliness, and because now I've turned to you, now because I've got my heart right towards you, and I've repented, I have the right to ask you to deliver me from the sword. Why is that? Because repentance with God puts you in the state of being restored. And then he says, my darling, my only soul, from the power of the dog. When you watch and you see how filthy a dog can be, talking about a wild dog, even some that's not wild, but I've seen a dog before when I was in the country getting ready to do some work. I'm not more country than Gainesville. I'm talking about where there's pasture and, you know, bulls everywhere, and there was a dead deer out, and the deer had been eaten by, you know, it was going through the parts where the body was going, had gone through rigor mortis, and it was decayed. Thank you for that word, decomposition. And I saw these maggots going in and out, and I saw the man's dog go and start eating it. So when he said, deliver me from the sword and the power of the dog, that dog has a ravenous appetite. They tear, they nip, they keep nipping till they get you wounded. That's what we watched when we saw them do the antelope, didn't we? They kept nipping and just stand and watch. And then one of them just kept running around in circles, running around in circles. I said, the deer going to get dizzy or the antelope going to get dizzy? And then bite him on the leg, and then run around, bite him on the leg. Bite him on the leg, and after a while, it gets it down and start doing it. He said, deliver me from that. Do you not understand, especially those of you that have jobs, those of you that have friends that you've turned away from, those of you that are trying to walk with God, don't you keep feeling people biting at you to try to get you down so that you can be what they want you to be, or they can take what you have or make you understand, ain't no God going to help you. He's asking God, this is real. This is Bible. This is truth. This is a man of God praying this. He is speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've already shown you that before. I'm going to let you know today, if you think that your feelings, because you sad, because stuff happened to you, that you ready to drop and give it up for the Lord, you ain't right. And I know I said ain't. And instead of saying you are not, I want you to feel it. You ain't right. Because your feelings are taking over now. The knowledge of God is in his time, his power, Rich. He can stop and thwart anything. He raises up, he sets down. Nebuchadnezzar say, and who can stop his hand? Now, if Nebuchadnezzar can say that, how much more can we be able to say that? 23, read it, so beautiful. 22 and 23.
I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him.
Mm-hmm.
The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this.
Thank you, Dre. You see, we did the first half where David did a lot of the complaints and a lot of the crying and saying what the situation was. He did not deny the situation. He did not deny the pain. He did not deny the enemy. He did not deny that it felt like God was not there. But in the second part of this psalm that we're looking at, listen to what he speaks when he speaks in truth. Understand what he's saying. No matter what I'm going through, listen to what he's saying here. After he has asked God to save him, he says, I will. You like that? Do you like those words? What does someone say? I will give you a car. I will pay your bills. I will. And that person is a truthful person. You start to perk up. Like somebody say, Naomi, I will on your 16th birthday give you a so-and-so. Or I will every time you want to make something, I'm going to just go ahead and just give you a credit card. You go get it. Well, he's saying, I will declare your name unto the brethren, irrespective of what I've gone through, irrespective of what I feel, no matter how many enemies have come against me, and it doesn't seem like God is there for me, I will. I'm not going to go with my feelings. I'm going to go with my knowledge. I will. What if my family don't like me? I will. What if I go broke? I will. What if I'm homeless? I will. What if my daddy die? I will. What if my child die? I will. What if I realize I'm going to die in 2 days? I will. Declare your name to the brethren. And when we get to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was blessed forever, the greatest of all, when he was dying, he knew he was going to declare his name to the brethren. You don't stop me because of situations. You don't stop me because of what I see. You don't stop me because there's pain and adversity going on. Because it still is my God, irrespective of what happens. I will declare your name to the brethren. Will you declare his name when it looks like everything is going wrong and people have laughed and wagged their head like a dog at you wagging his tail? He said, I will. You want to taste it? Hebrews 12 and 1 says, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And it says, consider him that put up with such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your mind. You think you're the first person that's gone through something? You think you're the first one that suffered? What's wrong with you? Where's your Bible? They mocked Noah, made fun of Noah. You think that there's something, Abraham, soon as he hooked up with God and got right with God, he's going to go to the promised land. Here's a famine. God, where are you? Then my beautiful, beautiful wife, Pharaoh want to take my wife and lay up with her and do the ungodly. God smote him. Then my nephew, his people want to take what God has promised me. I got to separate from him. Then here come the wicked people and capture him. Now I'm in war that I didn't even have to start. Think you the only one? Have you never read anything from Fox's Book of Martyrs? Do you understand that Stephen was killed? I'm telling the truth. But listen to this, and I'm not going to go deep into Stephen. If you want to find out about Stephen, if you don't remember where it is, it's in Acts chapter 7. Stephen, while they were stoning him, the Bible said they were just like wild dogs, they gnashed on him with their teeth. He declared God even then. He said, which of you have not killed all the prophets? Which of you, God been doing stuff for you all a long time. Which of the prophets have you not killed? I'm still declaring God's name because you killed the Prince of Life and God raised him up. When is your heart going to be right? When are we going to be people God can depend on? The ungodly always know they can depend on us to do their will. Send your kids to my school. Teach them evolution, because we control the purse if they get the job or not. So we can make you do what we want you to do. Just go along with it. We'll take your job. We'll take your money. We'll even come and take your land in some places. We'll take your freedom in some states and in Canada. Don't you stand for what God say. You're going to have to make some choices. But he says here, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Please, before I move on, understand all of the verses that came before that. It doesn't show him being victorious yet. It doesn't show him having defeated the dogs, the lions, or the bulls, or the wicked assemblymen. But he said, I will. It's a mindset. I think I've labored. I can't say I went too far, because tomorrow we go out there and something happened, you won't hear this in your mind. Mm. But I'm saying I think I did put it on that it's based upon the truth, not our feelings. Mm-hmm. I know who he is. I've seen his resume. He said, I would declare your name in the brethren. That's what I'm doing right now. What do you mean, look at me like that, Naomi? Let me explain. As long as I'm speaking by the Spirit of God and I'm speaking the truth of his word, which was given by the Spirit of God, I'm declaring, I'm speaking for Jesus. I'm actually speaking his word and declaring his righteousness and his truth in the midst of the assembly. When you do it, it's the exact same thing. These are not words that I originated. I wouldn't have originated some words like this. I would have originated, well, when things going wrong, God must not be pleased with you, or God must not be listening. Maybe you need to get you another God on the side. That's what the children of Israel did. When you're going by the Spirit of God, it's like it's one God. What if I get broken? I can't buy Andrina some food. She ain't supposed to go marry somebody else. Why she married to me? They call it a bigamist when a man does it. I think it's called polyandry when a woman has more than one husband. Many andry. Yeah, somebody told me about that. It was a woman had wickedness in her mouth. But anyway, he says, in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Did you catch that? Did you catch that, you all? Did you catch what he's doing in verse 22 before deliverance is given? I'm still going to declare and I'm still going to praise. Can you hear Paul saying, in everything give? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You. Can you see it? New Testament is very consistent with the old. It says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. This is still before. You see your deliverance. Ye that fear the Lord, ye that fear Yahweh, praise him. All ye seed of Jacob, do what? Glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. In other words, you all have a role. At this particular time, they had a specific role that they were supposed to be the lights of the world. They were supposed to be the priesthood of God. And if you understand that their role, what their role was to the world, their role would have been that to the wicked in the assembly as well as to the other nations, how much more for us? Are we not the Israel of God according to Galatians chapter 3? Are we not the light of the world according to Matthew chapter 5? Are we not supposed to be in Christ according to Galatians chapter 3, the seed of Christ? How dare we? How dare we not glorify him? How dare we not fear him? It's, the fear is a twofold thing. Most people want to talk about the reverence. God is not just interested in your reverence of him. Because you might decide to become irreverent if you get upset. So he made the mountains shake. He set the mountains on fire. He sent the thunder. He sent the lightning. Everything quaked and people's hearts start melting within them. I need you to know that I'm big and I'm good and I'm strong and I'm powerful and I can destroy. So you reverence and respect me. And then you be afraid of me. What's the question?
What do you mean by people's hearts hurting?
That means just like you take a piece of ice and hold it in your hand, it start melting and it just start pouring out like the water that it was before. It became a solid form. That means it gets weak. It's just like it's a picture of melting. It's not like you put it in the microwave and turn it on and it melts. It's like on the inside, you can feel it get weak. I'll tell you how you can tell when your heart melted. You ever got scared before? and you knew you were in trouble, and your daddy or your mama started asking you questions, Josiah, did you do what I told you not to do? Maybe you've been good and you never experienced that. But then I've seen you before, and instead of you talking like this,
yes,
sir. Your heart's melting. Because that's that fear. God, if God only wanted us to reverence him, why would he use such pictures? Why would he be so graphic in his power of being able to split mountains and make earthquakes? I need you to fear me. So there may come a time that you may think it's a small thing to be irreverent. I need you to be scared. Last thing, last illustration. How many in here would take two nails and stick it in an electrical socket? Why? Afraid? How many would take a plug, you know, a plug and plug in a lamp that has the plastic on it, plug it in the socket? You see, that's a picture of reverence and fear at the same time. You reverence it. You don't hold it by the metal part when you plug it in. You hold it by the plastic part. But the same thing that you have enough reverence for to do it, and you have enough sense, you won't do it with wet hands either. But you still won't stick the two nails in there. Why is that? Because there's a certain amount, even with electricity, that you reverence it, you respect it, but there's another side that you fear it. God needs that from us. So it says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Was that a good illustration of reverence and fear? Mm-hmm. You don't play with it. You work accordance with it. It says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him. Fear the Lord when? When you're going through stuff. See the Jacob and all, you glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the wicked. Understand this. He says, I know the truth of God. And I'm the one going through this. I'm the one with the dogs at me. I'm the one with the assembly of wicked around me. I'm the one that the lion's ready to crush. I'm the one the bulls ready to gore. And I'm saying, God has not despise. I feel what I feel, but I know the truth of God. I know the truth of God even way back when he said that he would destroy the enemies. I know the truth of God that when we as a nation go through something, we've been doing something. He says, I know the truth of God. He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the wicked. What he is saying here, the ones that laugh and wag their head and saying, God ain't going to do you, he didn't lie, then you let him save you, they're liars. Yes, I may feel sad. Yes, my heart aches. Or as Josiah just asked me, my heart melts sometimes. But I know they are liars and the truth is not in them. God has not abhorred me because things are going bad for me. God does not despise me. Do you know the truth of God? Or do your circumstances, your feelings determine how you're going to walk with God? Remember, all up until we got to that 22nd verse, people were making fun. They were trying to destroy. And he said, wait a minute. Straighten up his shirt and slid his tie upright and popped his neck a couple of times. Said, let me tell you something. And this is what he's doing. Listen to the next verse. The next part of that verse. Neither has he hid his face from him. Do you understand? When you know God's word, you know how God dealt with the children of Israel. He took his time, but when it filled up, when the iniquity of the Amorite got full, God dealt with them. Why is that? Because we don't know God's timing. He says, but when he cried unto him, he heard. When he cried unto him, he heard. God hears. God hears even before we see him act. Even before we cry out, he hears. But the truth of the matter is God hears, and then there's times when he comes to act. And so he said, my praise shall be in the great congregation. You could actually use that word to say church or synagogue. Because he's dealing with the assembly. My praise shall be in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. What have I promised God? how I told God I was going to walk. Whatever it is, I'm going to still walk uprightly before the people, no matter what I'm going through. I'm not going to be disheartened. Paul said one time, you all look at me like you think I'm nothing because my speech is rude. You let other people come in, they'll strike you in the face, you'll listen to them. But when I come back, I come back with some power. Ain't no joke. I know what authority God has given me. You think because I don't exercise all my power to demand how you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to do, and I don't make you all give me all of this offering, you think that I'm not who God want me to be. Paul says, I know what the truth is, and I'll pay my vows. I want you, even if you think I'm rude in speech, even if you don't think I'm great, whatever it is that I'm supposed to do for God, I'm going to do it in front of the people. I'm going to be an example in the midst of going through. Y'all remember when Dree had cancer? Do y'all remember how faithful she was? And I never heard her blame God or dismiss God or curse God. I never saw it. If she did it, she can tell me about it later, but I never saw it. I saw her in the midst of going through, trusting God and speaking like God wants us to. What about mama in there? What about what we went through? What about what Rosia? All of us go through things. How are you going to respond? Because sometimes paying a vow was making a vow to do something, making a vow to say something, but your life really should be a vow to God. If you have determined he's Lord, that's really a vow. And it shouldn't be broken. As a matter of fact, the picture that God uses for that is, do y'all remember whenever a person was a bond servant and he loved his master, he would put his ear up against the door. You all remember they would drive through the ear? Did you know what the term for that I've learned is called? You become a son of the house because you bored your ear to the door. And so he said, I pay my vow. Tell me that's not a vow to be subject to this person forever. And it says all of the ends of the world will remember and turn to the Lord. What faith? And the kindreds of the nations shall worship. There's an everlasting message that's supposed to go throughout all the world. Now, David, God did make him king over other nations. Other nations bowed down to him. Oh, we're about to get into Jesus, but I want us to see that there's a part for us to play. We're living in what they call the melting pot. Well, really, between the pluralism and the hatred of what the Bible teaches. We live in a world that's really, I would say, cultic, pagan, anti-God. We have pockets of God here, but it's our lives and the people that we touch when we go through things. We don't know how God is going to work with them. But if you do what he says here in the midst of them, knowing you're going through stuff, glorify him, fear him, declare what he has done, declare it among the brethren because they're going through stuff they need to hear too. And in some way, God uses us to help the other people of the world turn to the God. And then he says, listen to this, verse 28, for the kingdom is Yahweh's. Verse 28, the kingdom is the Lord's. It wasn't Obama's. It wasn't Bush's. It wasn't Trump's. It's not Duterte. It's not Putin. It's not Kim Jong-un. It's not some other person's. It's not the Ayatollahs or the Muslim Brotherhood. It's not the activists. It's not the Clintons. I don't care how much they do. It is the Lord's. And when he gets ready to execute his judgment on his enemies and smite them and break them down and make them like the chaff. Have you read the first Psalm? The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. That means good for nothing. And they will not stand in the judgment. He said, the kingdom is the Lord's. Do you still pray sometimes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done? Or have you got too old for that prayer? Let me tell you something. As long as you're a part of this earth, and as long as you breathe and your body is made of dust, and you're part of earth, you need to be telling yourself, Lord, your kingdom come, especially in me. Your will be done, especially in me, in this earthen vessel that I have as a body. Let it be done in me as your will is done in heaven, so that your kingdom will be manifest in the people of this world. When enough of us live like we should, people will see it. It doesn't mean his kingdom hadn't come if people don't see it. Understand that. We were in the ninth chapter of Psalm in the 17th verse. It says, the wicked shall be turned into what? Yeah. And all of the what? All of the nations that forget God. God don't need a consensus. He is the great I am. Every now and then we forget that I am is the same thing as saying when you talk about God, he is. Mind right. And then he says the kingdom of the Lord, and he is the governor of all the nations. That's why when people march around, Trump not my president, Trump not this, and Bush not this, I did not want Hillary to be our president. But if she had been our president and God had put her in that position, she would have been my president. She would have been the civil head of the what we call the government. I would not obey her no more than I'll obey Trump if it's against God's will. But if God put them in the position to bring about hardship on this world, that's his choice. Listen to what it says. Here's a person that's going through. It says the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor of the nations. That's why he can put one up, put another down. You have church folk walking around, he ain't mine. Well, you must think that God's not the governor of this nation, cause things get out of hand to you. You know, I seen a cat fight a rat, and that rat would run so far. Now, for me to catch that rat, it would be probably an impossibility. But for that cat, he might let that rat get 20 feet, and then go and catch it. See, it's not out of hand for him. The cat probably knows how fast it is. I've seen a rat run up a wall, and it didn't matter to the cat. I saw the cat take one part and hit the wall and slap it right back down. So when we look, if a cat can do that, how much more we think things out of hand that God can't bring it back when he gets ready? He just let it go and pile up wrath against the day of wrath. But I catch you, and this should be encouraging in your heart when you know that people are doing stuff to you, when you know that things are going on in your life you don't like, when there's sicknesses and things. If you can remember the kingdom is the Lord and he is the governor of all the nations, he can fix it when he chooses to. Verse 29, and they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. Those that have plenty, they'll eat and worship. Some take this to be like a peace offering where they would come together and they would eat and be with God. But there's another side of that. You have people in the earth that have plenty. They eat and they worship. Because sometimes people think only the poor is the one God loves. No, that's not true. But listen to the next part. And they, all they that go down to the dust shall bow before him. And none can keep his soul, keep alive his own soul. So if you're fat, have abundance, you can't keep your soul alive. I don't care how much you eat. If you're going down to the dust and look like you're going to die, you can't keep your soul alive. But notice this. All they that be on the earth, they'll eat and worship. One. All they that go down to the dust, a pitch of death, being in the ground. Notice what they do. They go down to the dust, but they still bow. How is it that the dead bow? And none shall keep his soul alive. In other words, God don't just rule the nation. He's not just the governor. And I'm going to make it more plain to you. All of the people, the one that's got plenty and the one that look like they don't have much, those that are on the earth and those that are underground. In other words, just like we read when we're in Philippians, every knee that bow is going to bow to him. Heaven, earth, and under the earth. You see, it goes a little further than David. But it says they'll serve. In the next verse, it says, a seed shall serve him, a remnant, a group of people, will worship and serve. Now notice in the last part of that 30th verse, read it please, Dree. My mouth is dry.
A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation.
It shall be counted to the Lord for a generation. Do you realize that whenever you become Abraham's seed, when you become a seed of God, do you realize according to your Bible, which is my Bible, in 1 Peter 2:9, you become a different generation. You become a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You become a chosen what? Generation. This stuff starts getting even more prophetic. Next verse, what does it say, 31?
They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he has done this.
I will submit to you that if you look in this passage, you see that faith is being exercised based on truth. Not only do you see faith being exercised based on truth, God's glory, his majesty, his power is still being declared in the time, in the midst of things that an individual is going through. But then you start seeing glimpses that he has defeated his enemy. You start seeing glimpses that those that have died, they're still serving. You still seeing glimpses of this right here when it said it shall be counted for a generation and they shall come and declare his righteousness. These are those that are not following him to start with. They will come. But how does all of this fit in benefiting me? You've told me about David. You've told me what David went through and what we should do. What about Jesus? The Bible said we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. According, I believe it is 9:23 in the book of Luke. Unless a man take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. Take me to 1 Peter 1:10. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see our sweet Jesus. I want you to see this passage, because when I first got to this passage, the first thing I want to do is start with Jesus. But there's a lot of stuff in there about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Amen. What does it say, Dree?
Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what, or what manner of time, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify.
Now it said the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets talking. David was a prophet, according to 2 Samuel 23:1-2. So now we see, in looking at this passage, to get the ultimate juice, not all, when I say the ultimate, the highest, Christ. We see here he's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How am I able to say this is Christ saying it? Because it's the Spirit of Christ that was in David saying these things. Well, we look and we see that we have gone through this before in Revelation 19:10, that the Spirit of Christ, or the testimony of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. Now we see that in this my God statement, it's been brought out in the New Testament. Matthew 27:46, listen to what the Bible says. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, some say Eli, 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 lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The feeling is real. The feeling is real. The man on the cross, the Lord Jesus, is not feeling God being with him right there. It's again repeated in the Mark 15:34. And then if you look in Luke 24:44, listen to what the Bible says. This is very important. Jesus is raised from the dead after he has said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Here he says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. I knew before I died, I knew when I was preaching that these things had to be. So when I said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? What I feel, and there is some kind of separation that Tim can't explain right now, But I knew God hasn't forsaken me because I'm God as well. But there is a difference in me being God man and me being just man. I do suffer as a man, but I'm not operating as God. You're not going to kill me insofar as I won't be, but I'm going to suffer. I'm intertwined with humanity. So when I die, in a sense that God does not look at sin lovingly, in the sense that this judgment has to be real, and sin is the separation from God, in some kind of way, there got to be a separation that takes place. Do I fully understand it? No. I can only guess. I don't have enough depth of wisdom. I know what other people say, but if I don't accept it, I'm not going to repeat it all. But he died. When people say God the Father is cruel, you're telling a God damnable lie. Jesus was beaten all night long, Dree, about 14 hours of being beaten and hung on the cross, nailed on the cross, spit on, hit on the face, and all of this for you? And you got the nerve to say that God is cruel? Think about he's cruel to you. You can say he's cruel to his son, but that's a magnificent amount of love that he has given for us. People say, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. I like the God of the New. Who do you think put his son to death, fool? I wish I could say it like Mr. T. Fool! Who do you think he was put to death for? Isaiah said he was wounded for whose transgressions? Ours. Bruised for whose iniquities? Ours. And the chastisement of whose peace was upon him? Ours. And by his stripe you are healed. Yes, Josiah. It's a lawlessness. Iniquity is not obeying God's laws, determining I want to do wrong anyway. Like if you were lawless, if your parents told you to go to bed and you wouldn't, that's lawless. You're not obeying God's law. If a man goes out and fornicate and cheat on his wife, that's lawless. Because some churches would say it's okay. God loves you. That's lawless. That's iniquity. We say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the epitome of everything that you have gone through. This is the epitome of everything I've gone through. I have never been beaten that long. I have never been whipped till the skin come off my bones. I have never been hung. I have never been tried 3 times and embarrassed and stripped butt naked and hung out in public where the flies can eat the blood that's coming off of me and thorns sticking through my head. And listen to me, when you talk about thorns, I work outside a lot. I know what it's like. Some rose bushes, the thorns, like Aunt Ruby had a rose that was tall, a bush tall as a man, taller. I go to some people's home where they have rose bushes and the rose may have died, but the thorns are still sharp. And I have on Dickies, thick Dickie pants, and it'll rip through and get to my skin. Imagine the kind of thorns that they put on. They didn't put no nice little thorns on his head and crush them down on his head for us. And we're going to cause somebody hate us, or somebody going to maybe put us to death. We're going to turn our back on God. He says, why have you forsaken me? He said, why are you far from my roaring? Listen to what it says in 86 Psalm. This is Jesus speaking through that Psalm, 86:3. Be merciful unto me, O God, for I cry unto thee daily. Remember when we were reading in this Psalm, in the first part of the Psalm, which is so sweet, which is so lovely and delicious. He said, why are you far from helping me and from my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry to thee in the daytime, but you hear it's not, and in the night season. I want you to see how Jesus was speaking for himself. If you all can write this down, I'm going to kind of speed it up because we should be familiar with the life of Christ. If I go too fast, I'm going to look at my wife, and if she give me a little slow it down. But in Luke 6:12, before he died, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days, he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. But if you don't know that he's already gone through a battle with Satan in the fourth chapter, if you don't understand that the host of sin were already coming against him, you don't understand that he's already praying and dealing with issues. Now, I want you to notice this is a special occasion right here. Special occasion in Luke chapter 22 when he's getting ready to die, when they get ready to kill him. Luke 22:41. It says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. I guess it may be you throw it overhand. I don't know, because I've seen some people that can throw sidearm. They can throw a long way. But it says a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, please hear this. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And in being agony, he prayed more earnestly. And as his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground, and he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping and said, why sleep ye? Rise ye, pray lest ye enter into temptation. Understand this. He's praying earnestly to God. The same Jesus that say his prayers are answered always. Here's the, do y'all know what the word caveat mean? And like an exception. This is a special case. I need you to understand that when you look at it, my God, why have you forsaken me? It looked like God's not coming through for you. It looks like every enemy is against you. I need you to see our ultimate example. Jesus is saying that this, I'm praying that you remove this, remove the dogs, remove the pain, remove all of this, but only if it's your will. Only if it's your will. I know what the truth is. I know the truth way back from the beginning that the seed of the woman should crush the head of the serpent. I know what the truth is, that they're supposed to become a ruler out of Judah that would take control. I realize that by his stripes, Isaiah said, is there another way? If not, I'm more interested in your will being done than to be delivered from these dogs, from these bulls, and from the other one. What's the other one? Lion. I'm more interested in doing your will and your will being done, not my comfort. This psalm is not a joke. This psalm is saying, are we there yet? Are we? I'm not talking about a TV show. Are we there? Are we there in our mind yet that, Lord, your will be done? If not, you'll never be able to be with those in Hebrews 11 that were destitute, afflicted, and tormented, and imprisoned, and were thrown asunder, that wanted a sheepskin, goatskin, and caves and dens of the earth. Are we there? This is our example. Matthew 26:39, listen to what he says. It's very beautiful. It says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. How do you pray when you're sick and you don't get well? How do you pray when everybody's doing something against you? Your government, they got leaders that you don't want. They doing stuff to you through the IRS. People that you grew up with hate you because of lies. How do you pray whenever you realize I'm really going to have to go through this unless God stops? But I know I'm living right. Do you say, right now, God? Moses tried that with God one time. You all remember that? When his sister got leprosy, heal her now, God. You go, wait a minute. Go back and read that. Look. When you said if your daddy just spit in her face, she would have been at least set aside for a week. In other words, no, you don't tell me. I tell you. Well, I remember one time a prophet came and told David, yes, go on and build God a house. I'm speaking it. And God said, I didn't say that. Now you go back and you tell him that I said you won't build it. It's a good thing you wanted to, but you're not the man. Matthew 26:51-54. This is very important that we get this scripture. I built up to it. Dre, if you're there, you can read it. Other than that, I will. But I built up to it, showing that the cup, showing that God will be done. But I want us to understand truly what it means to worship God in truth past feeling. What does it say? Dre, read for Tim.
And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled?
Now, those of you that have been around me teaching long enough, you already know where I'm going, don't you? Where am I going, Andrina? Where am I going, Dre? Somebody tell me. Nobody want to tell me? The first thing we want to look at is this. I can stop this. Peter want to stop it for me. Peter had to fight. You ain't got to put up with this. Let me say it like black people say, I'm down with you, Jesus. I'm all the way down. Ride or die. He said, put it up. Do you not think, yo, the puny sword, my daddy sent me 12 legions of angels, but the one thing that I'm concerned about is the truth, and the truth is in the scriptures. How then will the scriptures be fulfilled? How then? So you get lonely as a single woman, yes. You get lonely as a young man, and you want to lay up with somebody, and somebody come by, instead of cutting the high priest ear off, I'll be there for you. Yes, I will. I will give you me in an ungodly way. I'll do it. But your thing should be, how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? You're broke, and you need some money, and somebody got a trick for you. All you got to do is get somebody else's social security number. We'll do something with the income tax. We'll get paid. How then will the scripture be fulfilled? Somebody been lying on you in the job, and you're bigger than them, and they have not been trained how to fight. And you want to slap, as my daddy used to say, that taste out of their mouth. But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? You're sick and you can't get well, but they got this voodoo person. And you know some people that have been healed. And you've been sick a long time. And this sister so-and-so calling me now on the TV. And you know people have been healed and you want to go. But how then will the scriptures be fulfilled? You think those situations I gave are worse than what he was going through? Peter, I believe Peter was trying to cut Meniscus' head off. His name really is Masker. It's Malchus, okay? I believe that Peter went for the head and he moved his head like to the side. You know, how do you just go to cut somebody's ear off? I don't believe you go and hit somebody in the top of the head. You know, and thinking, I don't think the sword would cut through the head, through the bone. Maybe it would. I believe he moved. I don't think a fisherman is that accurate. That just, you know, I'm going to cut this ear off, or I'm going to cut your, you see what I'm saying? But Jesus said, I got greater than that. I really could call my daddy and stop this. How then will the scriptures be fulfilled? If you listen to that right there, you automatically should be able to understand when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That he's dealing with another issue, that I'm bearing the sins of the people. I've never been a sinner. I've never been a disgust to my daddy ever. My daddy has never been disappointed with me. Let me say it like they say on TV, ever. Never have been. But if I don't go through this, how then will the scripture be fulfilled? All of us would be lost. I hope I belabor that enough to make you love it. John 18 and 10, that's where I got the name. And it says it was his right ear, and the man named was Malchus, okay? Now, in my mind, in order for you to cut somebody's right ear, when I stand this way facing Gary, I'm actually facing his left ear. This picture in your mind, what went on? But here is where we come in. Listen to Dree read Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. She's such a wonderful person to read this for us. I want us to understand, if we're going to serve God on knowledge versus feelings, we need to have the same mindset Jesus had. Mm-hmm. If we don't have that mindset, we will fail. What does it say, Colossians 1, 21? Read all the way to the 25th verse for Tim.
And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister.
Stop right there. I want you to see, thus far you've been reconciled in the body of Christ. You have become a part of the body of Christ. You actually represent him now. And Paul said, I'm a minister. But he said, it's only going to be there for you if you continue rooted. You got to care enough about the scriptures. You got to care enough about the scriptures being fulfilled and Christ's work being fulfilled. Next verse, Dree.
Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
This is so rich and it is so scary if you're not willing to live for God. Paul is saying, in order for me, in order for you to do like Jesus, to have the scriptures fulfilled, there are some suffering that we have to go through. There are some suffering that the body of Christ will go through. And if you're not being taught this to come to God, you're being taught a lie. You're being taught how to have feelings, nothing more than feelings. But what you need to have is the word of God. It says he rejoiced in my sufferings for you and fill up that there's something lacking, which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister or a servant according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Jesus had that mindset. Paul had that mindset. And I didn't make it up. Like I said, I'm just like a flea riding on a dog, okay? Wherever this passage goes, that's where I'm going. I can't take it no further. I'm not the one that started, and I'm not the one that wrote it. Now, in looking at my time, unfortunately, I'm going to have to stop. How many don't want me to stop right now? You know what I'm saying? Just one. We have to stop. But I'm going to give you a synopsis of where we're going. The synopsis of where I'm going is the different passages where Jesus is quoting this in the what we call the New Testament. And the emphasis and the thrust of this is going to be how they did stuff to him, how they hurt him. And then it's going to come to the glorious part where God delivers him from his enemies, where God raises him above his enemies, where God puts the kingdom in his hand. All the nations got to bow down to him. And summarily, all of the nations will be under us that are the children of God. We are the ones that are going to judge the angels. We are the ones that are going to judge the world. We are the ones that are going to rule with him. But according to Romans, if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. If you don't, you won't. I'm not giving you a message that you're going to love, but I'm giving you a message that Jesus went through. All of that David went through, that's nothing compared to Jesus. If you go back and read the life of Jesus, there were always people doing this to him. There were all the animals coming at him. He healed a man that's blind. Here they come. He healed a withered hand. Here they come. He tell a man that take up your bed and walk. Here they come. A whore come into the assembly, and the whore come in, want to be forgiven. Here they come. Everywhere. He raised a man from the dead. Let's kill him before he gets to the cross. And it wasn't. The Romans giving him the hardest time. His own brothers. Well, you know, we don't believe in you, dude. You're just our big brother. You got a problem. We know it. That's just how you are. And I'm saying, in order for us to worship God properly, we got to do it according to truth. And when we looked at today, what did Jesus use as his ultimate of truth? Scripture. The scripture. The scripture must be fulfilled. What did David use for truth? The scripture. Oh, you did this for Abraham. You did this for the children of Israel. You did this for the people that came before me. He could look back to the scriptures and see what God has done. Jesus is saying, I know what the scriptures say about what I'm going to do. So when we look at it, we look at what David had, we look at what Jesus said, and we know where we're going. And it should encourage your heart as we go through the battles of this life. I'm going to stop right here. I'm glad you all were honest enough to say let's stop, because you probably don't remember it all anyway. But we do have a podcast. So I think it's a good place to show that Paul said the suffering fulfill the word of God. Father, I thank you for your blessing and your eternal and your righteous word. I thank you for letting us realize we don't get to set the parameters of what it means to live a godly life and to walk with you. And sometimes it saddens our heart, but that's our feeling. Your word is already declared what will be and how it is to be. But you've also spoken in your word that there's a glory that we don't even really realize is going to be revealed in us. We'll get to see your face in the face of your son. However, your face appears to us just the splendor of the light. I'm not fully cognizant, but I look forward to it. I look forward to the day when you bring us into your kingdom and there are no more dogs or nothing that defiles. Help us to keep the mindset that the scripture must be fulfilled. The scripture must be fulfilled in our lives, and the scripture will be fulfilled after this life. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Help us to be the ones that are interested in the scripture being fulfilled to bring about your glory and honor to the name of your son, as opposed to bringing forth your glory and honor of those that have been destroyed as the enemies of your son. Amen. Amen and amen.